Open your Bibles, if you would, to Habakkuk, chapter number 3, Habakkuk. Habakkuk, it's the fifth to the last book in the Old Testament. So you can start at Malachi and go back if you need to. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. We've seen this verse before, but I want to bring a thought from 17 through 19. The Bible says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Tonight I want to talk just a few moments and share with you a thought upon joy, rejoicing. What makes us and why do we lose our joy? I know we don't lose it completely, but it dims and we have little joy. Well, we know there's a couple things that getting away from God, getting distant from God, getting sin in our lives. We also know that having little faith. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus in the ship? They began to get scared and troubled and all that. And they had no peace. What makes us lose our joy? And today, in all this praise and worship stuff, they try to manufacture joy. They try to manufacture worship. They try to manufacture praise. They try to do it with the beat of music. And they try to do it by, you know, when you have a lot of preachers anymore that just stir and try to stir it up. But there used to be a time when it would just come natural, when people would just feel it and let it go and share it. I think one of the signs of the time is the fact that we see such little joy. Amen. If you look here in Habakkuk chapter 3 in verse 17, the Bible tells us that those that are people of God, things are not going to go well. Everything's not going to go right. Everything's not going to go as planned. Sometimes you're going to have fig trees that's not going to blossom. Sometimes you're going to have fruit that's not going to be on the vines. Your fields will yield no meat. Your flock will be cut off from the fold. There should be no herd in the stalls. There'll be thin times. There'll be fat times. There'll be good times. There'll be bad times. But that is not the cause and effect of our joy. He goes on, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God is a reason and source of our joy. Tonight I want to look at a few things that should bring joy to those of us who are saved. But turn with me in the Bible. I won't take you several places, so stay with me. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, everything doesn't have to be going right to have joy. Paul many times makes me feel small. Things he was going through and things others was going through, and yet he had such joy even in the midst of tribulation. Notice if you would in chapter 7 verse 4. He said, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our what? He said, going through all these troubles and problems, and I am just exceedingly joyful. Now think about that a moment. So many times we get things in our life and we go through a tough time and it's poor me. Got to stop. The whole world stops because it's me. Look if you would in chapter 8. Paul says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their what? Joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, he said, we were going through this trial of affliction. They didn't have any money and they gave it to us. They gave us anyway. And it brought great joy. And so, what I want you to understand is everything doesn't have to be right to have joy. There are some things that ought to bring us joy. The Bible says, if you look in Luke chapter 10, turn with me. I won't turn several places tonight. I'm going to keep you turning. Luke chapter 10, and just give you some thoughts. Most of these you know. Here the disciples had been out witnessing, sent out two by two. Come back, and they were rejoicing because the Lord had given power and they were able to cast out devils and heal people and all those things. And the Bible, and Jesus said, the Bible says in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because why? Your names are written in heaven. You know, we ought to have joy just knowing that we're saved. Being saved ought to bring about some joy. Look what David wrote, if you would, in Psalms chapter 35. Psalms 35. Try to turn quick. I got a few verses I want to read. Psalms 35. Look if you would in verse 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. So salvation ought to bring joy. If you've been saved, it ought to bring joy. Look if you would in Psalms 51, what David wrote. In Psalms 51, verse number 12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We lose sometimes the joy of our salvation because, as I said, sin and distance from God and other things that gets in our life and situations we get in, and we lose sight. Look, if you would, in Psalms 132. In Psalms 132, again, David's talking about having joy because of our salvation. Look, if you would, in 132 and verse number 16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. In other words, if we've been saved, think about what it means to be saved. Think about what salvation is. And you know, the message I preached this morning. Now think about this a minute. Think about what it is to be free from dying and going to hell. Think how good it is to be saved. And so what if we have health issues? So what if we have thin times? So what if we have tribulations that comes? We still ought to be able to joy. And have joy in our salvation. We forget sometimes what privilege we have. I was thinking this morning, I can't imagine sitting here. As a matter of fact, Brother Greg's dad told me on the way out the door, He said, I can't imagine a lost person sitting through that message and leaving lost today. And I was thinking about how happy and how joyful we ought to be if we've truly been saved. And so therefore, folks, we have something to be joyful about. Not only that, but also look if you, in your Bibles in Romans chapter 15. I told you I'm going to skip you around a little bit. We know that joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But in Romans chapter 15, let me get over there a minute. Look if you would in verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of what? Holy Ghost. Look if you would in chapter 14, flip back to verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in what? So, not only should we rejoice that we have salvation, we ought to rejoice and have joy because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God ought to bring in our lives joy. And the fact to know that we have His witness with our spirit, witness with His spirit, that we are the children of God. We are led by His Spirit. We are led to cry, Abba, Father, in times when we need God. And it's so good to know that we have the Spirit of God. It ought to bring joy in our lives. Not only that, but turn all the way back, if you would, to Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter number 8. I know I'm jumping you all around the Bible, but I had some verses I want to bring out. Nehemiah chapter number 8. This one holds one of my favorite verses. Nehemiah told them in verse number 9 that this is a holy day unto the Lord. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of law. Look if you would in verse 10. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. So what he's saying is this. He said you ought to get joy from the Word of God. The Word of God ought to bring us joy. Let me ask you this. When you're going through tough times, how often do you get into the Word of God and read it and let it speak to you and let it bring joy? I remember some of the greatest times I've had is in the quietness of a room with everybody gone and no one around and the Bible in my lap and God just speak to me and bring joy. I've had times when I've just rejoiced in the Lord. I've had times when I wept before the Lord. And to have that in our life because of the Word of God. And it's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God. It ought to bring us joy. Not only that, but look if you would in Psalms 42. In Psalms 42. In verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. It ought to be coming into the house of God ought to bring us joy. The fact that we have a place to come. The fact that we have a seat. Sometimes, now listen, let me say this about seats without spending a lot of time. I know most of you know it. Occasionally somebody, a visitor or something, may come and get your seat where you normally sit. If so, just find another place to sit. But it's good that you have a place. It's good that when you're not there, we know that something's wrong and we know that something's going on. But David said he found joy in going to the house of the Lord because joy of singing. In Psalms 95, he talks about making a joyful noise and having joy in our singing. You know, sometimes we go through this, we go through a thing of singing, and we forget that singing ought to bring joy. And I love it whenever we just break loose. There's been some times when we've sung, and it's just like lifting the house up. And a while back, we had a service. I don't remember what it was, what was going on, but boy, it sounded so good. And everybody just sung out, and boy, it just filled my soul. Singing ought to be able to do that. Then we ought to have some praise in our worship. Look, if you would, in Psalms 30. Something else that ought to bring some joy to us. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh what? We have hope. We have hope regardless of how dark the night gets. Another day. We know who holds tomorrow. We know who's the author of life. We know who controls all circumstances. But we know that we have a hope. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in a Republican president, a Democrat president, a Supreme Court. All those things are things, there are some things that we prefer to see, but that's not our hope. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. I am glad that we have someone trying to put some right policies back into America and return America to some of the things that the other one took away from us, but that's not my hope. My hope is in the morning. When the Lord comes back and he fixes everything and he puts the things in place. And one of these days, we'll have no more nights, we'll have no more troubles, we'll have no more sorrows. But right now, we have them, but we have hope. I preached this morning. Only one thing's having worse than having no hope. That's having a false hope. And I'm afraid a lot of people's got a false hope. I'm afraid he's going to come up short and he's going to look at them and they're going to stand before God and he's going to say, the worker of iniquity, ever knew you. And, you know, I think about when I read that verse, what comes to my mind is all these TV evangelists. They claim to have all this prophecy. They claim to do all these miracles, to cast out demons and to heal sickness and all this. They put all this pretense on. Many of them, I believe, is going to stand before him and be cast into hell. He'll say, I never even knew you. And you got your reward, you got your money, you got the things that you sought after and coveted after. And all that, look, if you would, in Jude. You know where that book's at, don't you? Jude. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding what? You realize how much joy and how joyful it's going to be in heaven? When we're finally got rid of all this old sinful stuff, this sin flesh and all this. And one of these days, you know, we look here and we look at ourselves. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what would God want with someone like me? But you know what? When God's through with us, he presents us, we're going to be pure, chaste, perfect, full of joy. And we'll have joy ever after. Amen? Amen? Somebody said, I'm afraid I won't like it, what we do in heaven. Listen, if you're saved, heaven's going to be full of joy. Going to be exceedingly joyful. Not only that, but we also ought to find joy in this. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Preached on this morning. not this chapter, but this thought. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. We ought to have joy when somebody gets saved. It ought to bring joy to us. I don't know about you, but this morning reminded me of some things I need to do better. Things that we catch ourselves and we forget. One more real quickly, if you would, or two. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 20. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, or to myself, so that I might finish my course with what? And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus testify the gospel of the grace of God. To finish our course brings joy. You know, I remember Dad, talking to Dad and before he died. I was thinking, of course, I saw a picture the other day of Mom. We knew that they were going to take him off the machine, and we knew that he was going to die. They were going to try to bring him home that next morning, and we was going to get to see him for the last time and say something to him, and it worked out where that didn't happen the way we'd like it to happen. But Mom sat there all night long and just held his hand. And I saw a picture the other day of her while she was standing there sitting there beside his hospital bed holding his hand all night long for the last night. And I thought about how good it is to be able to sit at death and say, unplug me and let me step into it. Ready to go. My course is finished. And as much as we hated to give him up, he finished his course. As a matter of fact, when he died, he had on his desk a sermon he'd been working on for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He always looked forward to trying to preach one more sermon. And Brother Jim, you don't know how much that meant to him, all the transcribing that you did of those messages, and to many of his family. But he never wanted to quit preaching. He always wanted to preach. I remember one night I left him here, filling in on Wednesday night. I had to go somewhere preaching revival or something, and he about kicked the pulpit over. His defibrillator went off. But he loved to preach. He wanted to finish the course. And he was still working on sermon. And I thought when he's laid out here in the casket, Kelly's neighbor come through. And the passage was in Luke chapter 12 of the rich man who was going to tear his barns down and build new barns. And he stood there and he was crying. I don't know if he was here or not, Kelly, when he did that. And he was crying. I walked up to him and I called him by name. And I said, you okay? He pointed down that scripture, the one that Dad wanted outlined and opened up in the casket. And he said, that's me. He said, that rich man is me. And he said, if I don't do something to change, that will be me. I said, well, you made the first step in acknowledging that. Now you got to make the rest of the steps. And so, anyway, pray for him if you would. But when we have a course finished and someone finishes course, it ought to bring joy. Our joy, folks, is in the Lord. Look one more place, and I'll close right here in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, whom having not seen, ye love. Talking about the Lord. In whom though now, chapter 1, verse 8, if I didn't tell you, 1 Peter. In whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, our joy is not in circumstances. Sometimes the crops is not going to come in. Sometimes the herds won't be there. Sometimes the stalls will be empty. I know there's been times in Chris and I's life we went to the stall and it was empty. We've seen some times when it seemed like it rained, it poured. One thing would tear up and we'd have two or three things tear up. But through it all, he's been faithful. But our joy should not be susceptible to that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's where our joy ought to rest, is in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. Thank you.